even the things that we say and the things that we show. And so here again, notice again, charity. It is the important thing because Christians need to love, one, the truth. Christians need to love God. Christians need to love the Bible. Christians need to love the worship. Christians need to love the church. They need to love each other. And listen, we can't even hate the world. We've got to pray for those who despitefully use us. If they take our coat, give them our cloak also. We are called to live above and beyond where the world is. And so charity is so important, and it's talking about love and not a handout. It's talking about demonstrating. And then the fourth one talks about in spirit. That word literally is translated as consecrate. In spirit, consecrate. So that means in spirit, I am supposed to also be an example. Why is that important? Because the word translated spirit has to do with zeal, devotion, and dedication. If I'm going to have the spirit that is of Christ, then I'm going to have to consecrate myself and walk in, be dedicated and devoted to doing things the way the Lord would have me to do them, not as I feel I desire to do them. And then he moves on. In faith. In faith has to do with creed. Creed, what you believe, what you live. It needs to reflect a better creed than the world's creed. The world says, if it feels good, do it. That's the world. I mean, that, hey, whatever rocks your boat. You know, any way the wind blows. That's the creed of the world. The creed of the Christian is, if the Lord said do it, do it. That's it. If the Lord said do it, do it.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Not just what the world has said, but what God has to say concerning this issue. And we can always learn from where we are to where God would have us to be if we let the scripture speak for itself, and if we would absorb what God is saying to us and what he's ministering to us through the word. Now again, whether you are single or whether you are married, doesn't even matter. We're talking about principles. And again, even if you're married and may have been a part of falling in love at one point in time, The reality is that you can start where you are and begin to take that that might even seem to be dead, because God is a resurrector of situations. And then be committed to your part. Too many of us many times miss our part because we look at the other person's part. And because bad information causes us to, well, the word makes clear that bad communication corrupts good manners. So the bottom line is still, if you've got bad information in your thinking processes, you can be a good person with some bad information and start acting on that bad information and get yourself hurt. How many of you all ever saw the movie Color Purple? Okay. Now, you remember when Harpo, for those of you who saw the movie, listened to Whoopi, I don't know what Whoopi named, Seeley. And Seeley told Harpo to whoop her. And Harpo made a mistake of putting his hands on Seeley, and homeboy had a black eye. He was messed up because he got, see, Seeley had been used to being whipped and beaten. And what was Sophia wasn't used to that kind of stuff. She wasn't taking that from her husband. She says she's had to fight off her daddy, her brothers, her uncles, all my life I had to. And it's like she wasn't taking that from Harpo. Now, you know, a whole lot of us have messed up relationships because we've gotten information from other folk who had messed up relationships. And as a result of that, instead of hearing from God and taking the word of God, don't be no fool, this is you, if I were you, I'd do this, I'd do that, I'd do the other. And as a result, they messed up a good thing or made a good thing bad because the point of their information or source was wrong. And as a result, they utilize that information. And again, if you got bad information and you practice or input that bad information, you're not going to get a correct situation. And so a lot of times what a whole lot of us don't understand is we've got still concerning the love and the issue of finding what God wants for us, or God presenting what belongs to us and understanding what is from God and what is not from God. And not being able, because we're judging and we're using the world's standards as a criteria to judge what love really is. And when you begin to see it from God's vantage point, you're going to discover it's very different from that stuff the world has projected and presented as love. And as a result of that, that's one of the reasons why we have so much failure and failure rates in our relationships and divorces in our marriages, et cetera, because we have not learned. And I promise you, if you understand what God wants you to understand for you, it will help you to deal with your baggage from the past. It would help you to straighten up your present situation. And if there is a future for you in a situation, God at least will have you right and ready so that not only will you be what you're supposed to be, but you'll be able to spot if the other person is what they're supposed to be. And so that's why we want to talk about that. First thing, we want to talk about the definition of falling. Now, this is important because I want you to see some things about it. You may not have time to jot the full description down, but if you look in any full or collegiate dictionary, this was the American Heritage, you'll be able to get these definitions for yourself, or any unabridged dictionary give you all of this. But it says to drop or come down without restraint under the influence of weight or gravity. Now, remember, when you're falling, there's usually not anything to break your fall, and so you fall because there's nothing to catch you or to hold you up. Now remember, falling, and because words shape our worlds, what we speak, what we say, what we release, if it's negative, Satan takes it. If it's positive, God takes it. So we've got to be careful about how we project and we present, because we reinforce a thought in our own psyche and in our own thought processes. So if we keep saying the wrong thing, we're re-putting wrong information back into our thought processes. Can't get better if we don't make it any better. So listen to this. It says to give into temptation, sin. Now remember, this is falling. It says to lose one's chastity. And what is chastity but the state or quality of being chaste or pure? Under that, it had the definition of virginity, virtuousness, and celibacy. Now, you're either in one of those three states, where you're either virgin, or there is a virtuousness about you, or you have practiced celibacy. Now, listen to this. Falling causes you to lose that, mess that up. Number 16, the definition, to pass into a particular state, condition, or situation. The illustration they give is fell silent and what? Fall in love. Fall in love. Y'all getting quiet. I can see by the night y'all gonna be crying for us all over this race. All right. Now, let's look again at the definition of love from the dictionary standpoint. Love, a noun here. An intense affection for another person based on familial, not familiar with the aura, but L, which denotes family, or personal ties, a strong affection for or attachment to another person based on regard or shared experiences or interests, an expression of one's affections. Now, that's their definition. If you go into a dictionary and look that word up, especially again a collegiate dictionary, you're going to find out that there are more references as it relates to love, to sexual intercourse as being the outplay of that word. You're going to find that it falls far short of the high and holy definition of what God considers love. And you're going to see that it doesn't have any commitment, doesn't have any responsibility, doesn't have anything connected with it. It's just an expression of feelings and emotions played out in intercourse. That's so far short of what God expects for us. I want to talk about five faults of falling in love. Five faults of falling in love. Now, I want us, our study is going to come from 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. And we're going to start first with the first fault so that we can look at what the first fault of falling in love is from Scripture. From this story. There are so many scripture references that I had. Again, my time is so short and limited. I was led by the Spirit to use this story because it captures this, the essence of the five faults in this one story. And yet there are scriptures and stories all over the Bible that support, again, the reality of that. We've gone through some of them. As again, we said in Proverbs, I think it's 27 or 20, I don't want to quote the right scripture, but when we talked about hell and destruction are never full, and the eyes of man are never satisfied, well, again, that's talking about the flesh. It's talking about dealing with the desires of the flesh. Always, have you ever heard somebody say your eyes are bigger than your stomach? Okay, well, that's a reference to the fact that they're looking in the flesh and they see more than what they can handle, and they see more of what they are able to actually deal with. And it's just because you can get it doesn't mean you ought to have it. And I get absolutely, you know, went to lunch today at the buffet. And I looked, and that was somebody who was quite healthy, for lack of another word. And on their table, they had about two, almost three plates, almost half filled, each one of them. Now, it was a clear case, though they appeared to be able to handle all of it, they got more than they could handle, and they did not finish any of it. Now, when you look at that, again, just because they had the liberty to go back as many times as they wanted, their eyes got bigger than their stomachs were obviously able to handle it, and they got plate after plate and left almost between the three plates, they left two plates of food. I understand why some of those folk put up message, little signs, take what you can eat, eat what you take, but take what you eat, or however they put it like that, and if not, we'll charge you for food left over. I mean, because that's wasteful, and a whole lot of folk don't understand just because you can have it don't mean that you should take it and waste it. Well, it's fleshly. That's fleshly. I want you to look at the story. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and look at what the Word of God says in verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the